you wouldn't point to others and you would say there must be something wrong with me. Because how can a brother like David, for example, come in and shoot himself up, right? How can a brother like Daniel, who he was a little iffy in the beginning. It was his wife who kind of like had him.
Nah, you're right.
And look at a brother now and where he's developed himself, right? Look at Soldier Michael. Look at Soldier Michael, bro. And the trial that he has to endure with his family not being here. And the brother said, no, I believe in this and I'm going to stay faithful. Not just stay faithful, but I'm going to keep putting in work. Yeah. Bro, so I say that to say, Bishop, when I give him the rundown of everything that's been going on in the body, man, you got a lot to deal with over there. So, yeah, but I got good brothers with me that I can make things happen. But that's why it makes it more vexing to me when I see brothers and sisters on this type of bullshit. Like it's just, and that's why I said that's enough. You spoke to him, he spoke it, like that's enough. We ain't gonna chase nobody. You want go. Nobody's gonna call you and ask you why.
I had a brother that was a drug addict.
Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
For him it was so he went to prison.
I'm gonna let this place be a revolving door. You're gonna treat it like shit in here. Not the privilege that it is to have a place and a sanctuary to help you to get yourself right. Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I am Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Tobias.
And that's the crew tonight. Now, we got Soldier Daniel in the booth. Say something, Soldier.
Hey, shalom. Most High in Christ bless.
Hey, he said Most High in Christ bless. I was telling him before the show, we got to get something set up where they could see his face, like in a picture-in-picture when he talked.
Right.
He have some things that he be adding sometimes. I mean, sometimes his timing is off. He be messing me up. But
We was on it like in sync for a little while. I think it's the time we had it apart.
Yeah, maybe. The little choppiness time apart.
Soldier Nathaniel he's insightful.
And he has some things that he be bringing that you know, some good points. So I said, but you know, the people maybe want to see you. I think it'd be good to kind of have the little box that pops up and let them see your face.
Right. Now it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. It's kind of in the background.
Papito ate too much last night, so that's why he not here. Mm. He ate too much fondue. I'm not feeling good. I ate too much.
That stomach virus, what you said was heavy.
Yeah.
People not washing their hands.
Yeah.
Getting sick.
Yeah. That norovirus stuff that's going on. I had it, I think, like a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it as severe, but I pretty much felt like, okay, this is what's going on, you know?
Right.
Because it drained me, and then, you know, obviously the bathroom issues.
Mm.
Wasn't vomiting and stuff. Man, I think vomiting is one of the most terrible things.
It sucks because it tastes bad.
Bro, it's not natural.
It hurts.
I mean, it's a natural mechanism that the Most High put inside of us. But if you think about it, it's reverse of what happens up here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, if you have the runs, that's what that's made for.
Right.
You know, but this ain't made for you to go in, not stuff to come out.
Right.
Biologically, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously, vomiting is a mechanism to save yourself, but, bro, you spasm, you lock up, like you just,
And then what's the muscle spasm?
The spasms,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, I can't stand it, bro. It's the worst. You feel good after you're done, like if you do got to vomit.
Refresh.
That thing just, man, that thing is terrible. I can't stand it. The nausea and everything, the worst. And I'm not one to like make yourself vomit. Like some people are like, I can't take it. I'm just gonna put my fingers back. I can't do that shit. Mm. Part of my language. Yeah, we were just talking about a bunch of different things. The officer was asking me how my week's been so far. We were just kind of chopping it up before the show a little bit. We actually were ready sooner. We were just talking about some stuff.
It's a lot going on right now.
There is, but we were just saying why, right? It's that time of year. It's Passover. Right? It's significant because it's the 20th anniversary of IUIC as far as an entity when at the time it was three elders got together.
Right.
And, you know, and say, hey, you know, it was Bishop Kanai, Bishop Nathaniel, and you had one other who's no longer with us. And they said it was them and their families and said, hey, we're going to do something. We're going to move something.
Mm-hmm.
So the history of it is pretty significant. And, you know, Most High, it's come out. Most High deals with all the camps on some measure. Now you see that with the seven churches as the example,
mm-hmm.
that he deals with different churches and factions. And I don't say this to be boastful, but I say it as a note of righteous pride. It's obvious who the Most High has put front and center.
Right.
And that wasn't always the case. I was here when it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew who we were. And I've seen the growth as a body. You know, I think I've mentioned this before. So, yeah, you know, you're saying all this, and my mind, as we get closer to Passover, I'm reflecting on all these things. I've been here for 15 of those 20 years from when it was formed.
It's crazy.
And I look at it, and I remember the 10 brothers around two tables in Bishop Nathaniel's basement, cramped up, their families, you know, some of the sisters. There was a couple single sisters. Maybe 30 people all told. And what we're about to embark on and what we're endeavoring on, and not even just as far as the sheer numbers, but the lives that we've impacted. When I see the amount of people we have with us,
right.
The lives that the gospel has impacted using different brothers and sisters in the spirit of Christ, and not just with the scriptures themselves by repentance, but, I mean, I look at the children's program.
Mm.
I look at our kitchens. And listen, I'm the first one. I'm tough. I know we've done a lot of great things, but I feel like there's a lot of things we can shore up and do better.
Right.
But I look at all the offices and all the departments, from our social media to our different operations within the body, to the kitchen, to the food pantries, to the kids programs, to the daughters of Sarah, the young daughter. We just did an etiquette class here in Phoenix for the young ladies, which
right.
is so sorely needed, because those type of things are not really taught. And it's just a lot. It's big.
Crazy.
Like you were saying, it's big.
It is.
It's big. It's big.
The prep team. Like you said, we got prep. Like,
what it is it's a statement to longevity, and all praises to the Most High that the Most High is still dealing with us. And I pray he still deal with us that way continually. And I believe he will, so long as everybody wonders what that secret sauce is, all the haters out there, high haters. And it's the dedication and commitment to teaching repentance by keeping the law, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if we stay beholden to that, like we have, you know, nothing can stop what the Most High has in store.
Mm.
Nothing can stop what the Most High has in store. So it's crazy. Wow, someone said, I remember the 10th anniversary video when you were talking about moving to Phoenix, right?
Hey.
Right, wow.
You've been out here 10 years?
No, I've been out here, I think August was 6 years.
Okay, six.
August was 6 years. So, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we always know around Passover, like we were saying before the show, too, people show their ass or
spirits
people leave.
Manifest, right.
Spirits manifest. It's like the pressure, the Most High puts the pressure up to see if people have applied Luke. I always misquote it. Is it 11 or 19 or none of them where it talks about count the cost?
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
I
you
do.
Got it?
Yeah.
I'm Should always on. I'm not the quoter.
I got you.
I'll paraphrase the hell out of the scriptures. But
you're right. It's 14.
It's 14. I was totally off. What's the verse?
27.
Oh, yeah. I was really off.
You got 28.
Yeah. I was off. But I knew it was Luke.
Yeah, we were there.
What'd you say? Where you going?
Luke 14 and 28.
14 and 28. Come
yes,
on.
Yes, sir. The book of St. Luke, chapter 14 and verse 28.
Actually, start at 27.
Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Right. And, you know, that cross is highly individual. And let me tell you something. It should almost say crosses.
Mm.
Because as you level up in this walk, Satan finds other things to tempt you with.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High finds other impurities that he wants to purge out of you
mm.
to find acceptable men, right? Because Most High don't tempt you. He tries you to purge out things that are not going to be fit for him, for you to progress to what he needs you to be. And then Satan's always testing to see where your faith is,
right?
And it should almost be crosses, but it doesn't give you that time reference here. So I think a lot of people think they only have like one thing that they got to overcome in this walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's a continual thing. And the more rooted you become, the more profound those trials and those temptations become.
Right.
right? Cross is not, I think a lot of people look at it as a one-time thing. So it says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And that's heavy in and of itself. I think I could build a whole class just around that scripture there. That goes into self-examination. That goes into being able to take accountability for your actions, being fully persuaded in your own mind about where you stand and where you lack, right? Because we're talking about people who want to offshoot accountability.
Right.
And they want to blame others. And as we circle back into our topic for today, we're talking about this as the opening. But as you circle back into our topic for tonight, this is why a lot of marriages don't get resolved, the issues that they have in them. Because of one or both of the parties not accepting the accountability for their actions. And you start to do this finger-pointing
thing.
Point
of the finger.
And if you think about it, that's like endemic amongst our people where it's always someone else or something else. And that's why I can't get myself together. But what does Christ say here? Read it again.
The book of St. Luke, chapter 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross.
His or her cross. Meaning you. It didn't say, it don't mean that somebody else is your cross. Contrary-wise, when you read up, he says, if you don't hate your mother and father, that's not the cross that is talking. It's not a cross to walk away from non-believers.
Right.
To not let them disrupt your walk. He's talking about the things within you that must be purged, that must be tried to put those things out. I think it's the most primal, childish form spirituality and understanding when you blame others for your misgivings. It's the 3-year-old, the 2-year-old who points. I might have spoken about it years. My son, when he was real little, you know, we're bringing him up in the scriptures and we're teaching him about not lying. So instead of lying, his mechanism, and some of you parents may notice, was, it was Cracker who did it. Who's Cracker? Cracker's the imaginary friend that was the bad one.
Right.
Oh, it was Cracker did it, right? Cracker did this and Cracker did that.
Right.
And what that shows is that spiritually, because a child is not taught that at 2 or 3 years old.
Right.
What that shows is that spiritually, they know how to externalize things and point accountability elsewhere. And they don't even understand what the word accountability means.
Right.
So that's why I say when somebody points the finger at others, whether it's in your marriage or individually, or you point to, that's why, think of the three trials of faith, right? It's a classic class, right? And it talks about it's within yourself, congregational, and not that the congregation's your cross, still deals with yourself and marriage.
Right.
And the thing in that class, anybody who hasn't seen it, you should look it up. I believe Bishop Nathaniel gave it first, all right? I think I gave a version of it one time. I don't know if we have it up on Phoenix. Is when you really get to the root of that class, even though the three trials that he points are congregational within yourself and marriage, they really all revolve around you. And it goes back to this verse here. Read it again, verse 27.
Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
And these are people who the Most High will not find fit. These are people who might spend years languishing, and they're like those Mark IVs that they really never let themselves take root. And when the cares of this world and other, see, because that scripture doesn't, let's get that real quick. We're going to come back here. I'm not going to go off topic. It's just, you got me thinking heavy.
This Passover.
You said that it feels like this is heavy.
It's a very
And you've been around, like 5 years now?
Five. That's my story. Yeah,
right. So you've been around a little bit.
Yes, sir.
You've been around a little bit. And we've had, I think, a bigger jump in the last 5 years than in the 5 years before that. I feel like we also accelerate. So I'm excited what the next 5 years is going to bring, too, as far as what we do and the work that we do and what we put out. So what I'm saying is that that's significant. If 5 years might seem little, but it's significant because of where your 5 years took place.
Right.
And I don't mean here in Phoenix. I mean where in the timeline of what we're doing.
Where we're at as a body right now.
Right, where we're at as a body.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead. Read that in Mark.
Which one do you want?
I want the one which says, these are they by the wayside.
Yes, sir. The book of St. Mark, chapter 4 and verse 16. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground.
Right.
who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness.
Come on.
And having no root in themselves.
These are the people who did not bear their cross. As we read on, when we go back to Luke 14, we're going to see these are the ones that did not count the cost if they had sufficient in them to finish their course. Come on.
No root in themselves.
Uh-huh.
Who, when they have heard the word of, Actually, where are we at?
No, you were 16. Come on.
See, okay. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness.
Come on, read on.
And having and have no root in themselves.
And have no root in themselves, right? Because they never bared their cross. This is why I say you cannot be his disciple. Come on, read.
And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time.
That's why I said these are people that will languish for a while. They may even wind up having 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years here.
Right.
But no growth. No spiritual growth. And it's not anybody else's fault. It's because they didn't bear their crosses.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't face themselves in the mirror. Right? They didn't apply like the scriptures tell you where you look. It's like the natural man looking in the glass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then straightway he forgets when he walks away from them. Those are your casual believers,
mm-hmm.
right? Who've replaced Sunday service with Sabbath classes.
Mm-hmm.
And they may actually have some measure of work, but it's once a week. These are not people who are ready to dedicate their lives, that this becomes their purpose, that this becomes what drives them.
Right. Addicted to the ministry.
Addicted to the ministry. That's the type of people, brother and sister, that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are addicted to, because those are the ones that's going to drive the machine forward.
Right.
That's why you have that 144, and then there's a mixed multitude.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that those mixed multitudes don't have a measure of works, but the ones that are going to drive things are that 144.
Right.
Right. Go ahead. Read on.
Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended.
Right, and these are the people that get offended, and they start saying, it's you, it's you. You didn't do this for me because of you, because of that.
Mm.
Where the scripture tells you nothing should separate you from the love of Christ.
Right.
Come on, read on.
Verse 18.
Oh, that's it. That's all I wanted. Now, let's go back to Luke 14 and 27. Come on.
The book of St. Luke, chapter 14. And verse 27.
Freedom!
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Right. So I just gave you a little bit how 27, I said, is very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could start going on precepts all over, but that's not the topic. It's the power hour. We do the conversational thing, but occasionally I got to get some precept juice going.
Right.
Right? Go ahead. Hey, come on. Yeah, what's up?
You know, some shows, they have a like a little small rant before they get into the topic.
Yeah.
So, you know, we see what you're doing. It's
yeah,
all good.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I didn't realize it. He really struck a nerve with me when he said that. And I was just telling him I was, you know, speaking with Bishop Nathaniel prior to this, and I was giving him an update on what's going on out here in Phoenix and so on and so forth. And, you know, we just chopping it up a little bit. And, you know, it was good. Like, you know, we just kind of get level set. And, I mean, it's always an honor to speak to Bishop and how he sees things, you know.
Right.
Like, you know, so sometimes I'd be straight up, hey, so you know, what do you see in the spirit, Bishop? Like,
right.
what are you seeing here in the spirit, you know?
Right.
So you know, we were just going over some stuff, and then you came and you asked me to ask the guys. I said, you know what that means? This to me means I have two or three topics in me that I got to flesh out into a class.
Let's get it.
Because when I start ruminating in my thoughts on things like this,
right.
like that's when I get motivated for a topic to kind of put it on paper and stuff like that.
Right,
so
right.
That's how it works for me. It's like a feeling.
I'm excited.
It's hard for me to push a class.
Right.
You know, like if I had to and you said, hey, here's the thing, talk about this, I can do it. But it comes from a better place when I'm feeling it.
Right. I've seen certain classes you've done where it comes with certain levels of passion and
yes.
the correction, really.
Yes,
but yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Come on, read.
Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost?
Right, and that tower, really what it's going into is, you're trying to build yourself up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the workmen, right, that have no shame, right? Study to show thyself approved, right?
Right.
Unto God.
Mm-hmm.
So that tower that you're building up is your works, your body of what your walk is going to be like, that if Christ comes tomorrow, what are you going to lean on?
Right.
And say, and listen, he's not going to just be looking, yes, does it take is it of note to have had rank and have made contributions to the body? Yes. But what he's really going to look at is how did you build yourself up into that inner man of the heart, into the fullness and the measure and the stature of the example that he left behind.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean rank and duties and offices that you had, right? Because all of that is just the Pharisees had works.
Right.
And he said, the outside is clean, but the inside of your cup is dirty.
Right. Whited sepulchers.
Right. Whited sepulchers.
Right.
So are you going to be the whited sepulcher, or are you going to actually inwardly, right? He says inwardly are Jews.
Right.
Because, again, this could go all over the place. This is what he means when he says, you know, Christianity trying to say that means you don't got to be circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
No, what he's saying is if you get circumcised and the inward is not according to this thought process,
right,
then what have you really accomplished?
Nothing.
And it's crazy because you'll deceive yourself into thinking that you're actually doing something and that you're moving something. And that's what I call figure skating. I've said that before.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Where it looks nice, but you're just kind of scratching the surface of the ice. You're not really putting in any type of work.
Right.
It looks magnificent, right? You're doing all these spins and you're graceful skating around, right? But it's just appearance sake. There's really nothing significant about what you've done or what you've contributed because inwardly,
You haven't worked on yourself.
Hey, it's like the French prick chef when I had my cleaning business. I'll never forget it. But he was on point with this example that he gave because he was pissed at my team because, you know, come in and I'll be like, hey, but the restaurant looks clean. He was like, come here, look. And he would show me stuff under and bottom, crumbs and stuff. He said, it's like you go and you do your hair and, you know, or you're a woman and you put on makeup. He says, but your underarms and your ass stinks. He says, outwardly you look fresh and clean.
Right.
He said, but where it really matters,
you stink.
You stink. Come on, read this again, verse 28.
Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it?
And this is something that we always got to continually ask ourselves in this walk.
Mm-hmm.
I've made it here. You know, because think about it, when a house gets built or a project is started, there's stages, right?
Right.
First, you got to survey the land, right? Then you got to prep the land. Then you got to get your electrical and your plumbing put in, right? Then you lay the foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on that foundation, now you lay up your wood structure or whatever it is you're putting around it, right? Then you need a check before you insulate, right? Then you need a check before you put the walls. Then you need a check before you put the roof. Then you need a check before you put the shingles on the roof, right?
Right.
You have to, at each stage, count whether you have sufficient. And that goes into your inward self and how you're looking at things. Come on. And this, I'm going to loop this back to the marriage because the marriage is the building of a nation.
The building of a house.
Right. We're going to run up that graphic about marriage in a minute. Don't put it up on the screen yet, but the one that says a man shall leave, right? All that. We're going to run that back to bring it back home to get back on topic. Go ahead. Come on.
Verse 29, less happily after he hath laid the foundation. And is not able to finish it.
Right. So see the example I gave? And he's saying there's stages. He goes, so you'll lay the foundation, and then you say, damn, I'm not able to finish it.
Right.
Come on.
All that behold it begin to mock him.
Right, because people are waiting by to say, you know, you might have friends or family that think it's a phase. You might have people that are looking at it and like, yeah, right, you know, you're about this and that, and they don't think you're going to finish the course, right? Come on.
Right. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Right, because I like to use this sometimes when brothers and sisters that want to get into business, right? And this is what I mean by that when I talk about getting into business. Business sounds good to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good. Appetizing. Smells good. Might even taste good.
Right.
But then it hits your stomach like a ton of bricks for some people. And not everybody can digest it. So there's a difference between something being alluring and appealing to you and you being able to digest it. That's like that other scripture where it talks about like it was like honey in my mouth, but then it was bitter in my stomach.
Bitter in the stomach.
Right?
Right.
So that's how this walk can be for some people. But then they don't let that pass, that bitterness. And they're like, oh, I don't want none of that. Yeah, I know it tastes good when I taste it. But then what really comes behind it, I don't have sufficient to finish it.
Right.
Many people look at marriage that way, not just their walk, but that's why there's so many levels to this. People shouldn't be considering any type of marriage until you've put yourself together.
And it's the what's heavy, too, when it comes to marriage, like being single and trying to prepare for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I have to consider and count the cost whether I can finish the course on marriage too before the marriage starts.
Yes.
Less happily afterwards.
Yes. And what happens is people are just thinking of sexual gratification.
Right.
Maybe they're burning. It's been a while. Right. And that's fine. That's not a bad feeling to have because it says marriage is honorable and all and the bed undefiled, meaning but that I've said this over the course of these episodes, that shouldn't be the primary motivation for you to go into a marriage.
Right.
For example, somebody wants to come in here and they want to prove somebody. Listen, you could talk to whoever the hell you want, right? We have structures and regulations so that it's done correctly, all right? And if you don't go through those processes, one or the other should be like, well, you know, how come you're not going through, you know, did you talk to leadership about it? Did you see, you know, what can I say about somebody who wants to prove somebody that has not, and when I say works, it don't mean, you know, how many toilets you clean. What can I say if I don't know anybody in good conscience that wants to marry somebody and we don't know anything about them?
Right.
Because they've never done the things that they need to do within themselves to show themselves something. You know, and someone could say, oh, yeah, you know. I mean, we were talking about it in the little group where we'll show some singles the other day, and it's like, you know, someone was like, why'd you put this person here? Like, we can't even say anything about them.
Mm.
It's not just a group where anybody who's interested goes in there. We got to put people in there that we know that we have something positive to say about them.
Right. It's a prime candidate pool to be able to help.
And it might not even be that you got to say something negative about somebody. It might just be, you know, there's not really much I can say.
Mm.
Now that I think about it, does this person attend? Is their attendance spectacular? Maybe not. You know, we track attendance.
Right.
So it's not just going to be like, oh, how often I think I see them.
Mm-hmm.
And we could literally go back and count how many Sabbaths in a year and feast days that they're here. And then be able to sit back and say, okay, well, gosh, they don't even show up.
Mm.
One of the easiest parts of anything is showing up.
Right.
This is what I was talking about earlier, like with the MOV structure. Like, if you can't meet the minimum attendance requirements, then you don't need to be in the program because you're never going to pass.
Right. You're not even getting out of the program.
You're not even showing up.
Right, right.
And I don't care what your reasons are for not showing up. That's not my fault. Don't be salty at us.
Right.
What that just means is that now's not the time for you. Maybe in the future, if you have the time to show up to the program, then you have a chance to, and then even then, that's just showing up. But let me go back to Sabbath, not MOV. You can't even show up a majority of the time.
Mm.
I understand people get sick, but you can't even show up.
Right.
It's like, and then going back to wanting to prove somebody, then what can you say about this person? Oh, what do you know about this system? Not much.
Right.
What are her offices? Oh, she does this and this. Anything else you could say about it? I really can't. What can I say?
Now that's heavy.
What can I say? So, meaning it doesn't even have to be a negative report.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be, I don't really know anything about this person.
Right.
So what can you say?
But the scripture talks about we want to set ourselves up to be a pattern of good works.
Right,
that
right.
That pattern of good works is something, if you need to speak on behalf of someone, there's a pattern there that you can speak on.
And you got to understand, I think people think works is like cleaning toilets and cooking food.
Right.
And that's an action. That's a form of works. But it's character.
Mm.
Right? And it goes back to stuff that we're going to talk about with the relationship stuff. It's character that you need to look for in people. Because you could also have somebody that's on fire and works, and their character's terrible.
Right.
I know some good brothers that are not great husbands.
Mm-hmm.
I know some good sisters that are not great wives. They're working on it. They're trying to work on it. But one doesn't equal the other. But what it does give you is a little bit of background to understand character. Right. That reminds me that I said I want to talk about for the sisters that was offended by the body count, where she talks about what that is it's a sign of your character, basically.
Right, right.
It shows the type of decisions that you were prone to, because it was, oh, but you're new in Christ. We have to show that newness.
Right.
What it means when you're new in Christ is that there's a clean slate for you to change the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to see the new story.
I hear Deacon Laba say it all the time. He says, build on the new man.
Right.
Every day you're trying to build on the new man.
So I need to see your body of work in your newness.
Right.
But without that, I need to be able to consider what your behavior pattern prior to that. They think new in Christ means I'm acceptable. New does not mean acceptable.
Mm. That's heavy.
Think about it. New cars are always nice, but I don't like Hyundai's. Mm. I don't care if it's new.
Right.
That's not acceptable to me. But what I do prefer, that's new, I'm going to roll to, right?
Hey, and 1 mile is still mileage.
Right, and 1 mile is still mileage.
Right.
It brings the value of the car down.
Even if there's a new owner.
Even if there's a new owner.
That's heavy.
Mm.
You got the video of it.
Eldorado, but how long do you have to attend before you get into the MOV? We have our internal standards of how those things are set up. What we do have is a development process, brothers specifically, that they go through, all right? That's proprietary type of information. If you are with a camp and that's something you want to do, you should be discussing that with your camp leaders, all right? But it's not just attendance. There's a process, too, because you could be here a certain amount of time and still not be MOV fit, all right? And that goes for any office, right? There's always some time consideration, but that goes for any office.
You know what I've been praying for a lot lately?
Uh-huh.
The scriptures always talk about men that were able to bear shield and buckler.
Mm.
That's what I've been praying for
yeah.
a lot. Like
yeah.
men that are fit for the battle.
Yeah, hey, let me tell you, man. Ooh, that's another thing when you get me with that. The block is hot, brothers and sisters. The block is hot.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is the standards become more rigorous as we come nearer to the end.
Right.
As the war intensifies. You might be drafted into service, but you might be the cook. You're gonna be cookie. Because you can't be in, you know, say who do you want in a foxhole? You
right,
ever heard that
right,
term?
Yeah.
Who would you want in a foxhole?
From you and what was it? Aparium.
Right. Who do you want in the foxhole with you?
Right.
That's what we're looking at. Coming from all over.
Right.
The street is hot. The dragon's roth. Satan probing, looking who they can compromise.
Mm.
And if you don't meet some of those characteristics, listen, it's not a right for you to have offices, for you to be an MOV, for you to have rank. That's a privilege and an honor that the Most High calls you into.
Right, because saviors are going to rise up on Mount Zion regardless.
Right, right.
We don't need nobody.
Right, right. But like I said, I thought of this because of the sisters that got up in arms about the body count. Why do I got to share that? I'm new in Christ. You're mistaking new from saying that you've proven yourself to be something.
Mm.
All that means is you have a clean slate to do better. But if I don't know what that body of work is in doing better, then it matters. And it also tells me what you're prone to. It shows me how your decision-making process was.
Right.
Right? Go ahead, play this from this woman right here. Getting a pretty Jaguar.
Sorry, making man. Money. She's got guys sliding into the DMs left and right. She's got all the stuff. She's not thinking about family. Because she's saying to herself, I have time for that. I have time for that. How much time? If you do that OnlyFans and you do that until you're 30, early 30s, then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you want a nice guy, and guess what he says? Ooh, is that – well, you want OnlyFans? Bye. No thanks. And she's like, well, what do you mean? That's my past. That was when I was young. Yes, it's part of the decisions that you made. It's part of your character, and that doesn't interest me.
It's part of your character.
Right.
Your body count, what your past was like, it's part of your character. And character has more staying power. Behaviors can change on the surface, but your character is a much harder, it's a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
And paradigm shifts are much harder. This is what we talk about with the representative. You want to prove somebody long enough so that you can see their character, not just their behaviors. You learn character through their behaviors, but the behaviors have to be sustained, and you have to see those behaviors pressure tested.
Right.
That's your test drive, the proving. Not like in the world where you lay down with somebody.
Right.
Let's move in and try this out and see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn about their character over a sustained period of time of abstinence from sex because that clouds things.
Right.
Because of how you're feeling and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to see sustained behavior change through a period of time in order to understand.
Right.
But in order to really get a foundational understanding of what that character is like, you got to know some things about that person, and you got to know some things about their past.
That's heavy.
Says, oh, but that's my past. No, I'm not interested, because that shows me a lot about what your character was.
Right.
And that's why I said it's up to them then at that point if they want to move forward in that. Maybe they see something different in that character change.
Mm-hmm.
But characters, that deeper substance, characters, that stuff that has staying power.
That inward man you were talking about.
That's that inward man. It shows me where you're really at and what you're really about. What we're looking for when you said, you know, the shield and buckler.
Right. Fit for the battle.
Fit for the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That goes from what we look for in people, for offices and men and rank and different things, as well as when you're going into marriage.
Right.
Because marriage is going to be attacked the minute you do. You're saying, Satan, come try us.
That's heavy, because I think it's Bishop that's always talking about the first
the foundation of a strong nation is marriage.
Right, but also the first thing that was attacked, the first thing Satan attacked
was marriage.
Right.
Yes.
So you start to take on a marriage now is...
Yes, so you got to be fit for that battle. Someone said the strippers that don't plan after you too old to strip, right? Right?
That part.
It's shameful. I've said this before. The longer I'm in this truth, the more understanding that the Most High grants to me, the more disgusting the behaviors in the world seem to me.
Mm-hmm.
It turns my stomach. It turns my stomach.
Hey, D, I saw a post the other day that said, this is by far the worst generation of black people I've ever seen. I was like, I can't help but to agree, because of the things that this generation is into. It's crazy.
It's insane, the stuff that we're into.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about them, especially the kids, man. Oh, have they got their hooks in the kids, man.
That's the part. I think that's the more vexing out of all of it. And the kids don't know, but we have young men, because we teach the young men's class, right?
Yep.
There's young men in the body right now that are going through trials, and they don't even realize that it's a trial that they're going through. And the same, even with the parents look at them because they're young. They don't understand how to properly even counsel or build that relationship with their children to counsel or guide them as they're growing into adulthood.
Yeah.
Because they're young. I mean, they may not even understand that the Lord is literally having them choose between life or death, sin or not sin. How are you going to deal in these situations? And it's all trials.
Yeah.
And unless that child finds the right guide and counselor as he's in his situation, he's there as prey for Satan to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one brother that hits me close that's going through some things right now, and I'm praying that he can recover and stay focused. But they want the kids just as bad as the ones that are up fighting in the battle every day.
Mm-hmm. Let me get that in Job real quick, because you say he's Satan. We'll all pray for Satan.
Right.
We'll all pray for Satan. Get Job 1 and 6.
Yes, sir. The book of Job, chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord.
So this is the Most High, Christ, the host of heaven, all the angels, right? Come on.
And Satan came also among them.
Because Satan is part of that team. He is not God's adversary. He is God's tool to be our adversary, to be contrary to everything that he put out as an instrument to tempt us, to try us. Come on.
And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth.
You know what that tells you? He said, from going to and fro in the earth. You ask where hell is, it's in the earth. Until the kingdom of heaven comes in the earth. Come on.
Right. From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Why? Walking up and down in it. Because that's his domain, and that's what he was set there to do. All right? And his whole thing while he's in there, because when we read the next verse, you're going to see, his whole reason why he's there is we all pray for him to do and fulfill his purpose. Does that make God evil or unjust? Absolutely not.
Right.
That makes him brilliant and a mastermind to see what our character is like.
Right.
Come on.
Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil.
Come on.
Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught?
Right. So I don't want to keep going on in it. I just wanted to prove that point, because you said that thing like then you're a prey. But it's not even just in your weakness. You have to understand that if we're here where he is,
right.
It's kind of like Watchmen where he goes, you guys got it wrong. You think I'm locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
Mm.
And we're locked down here with Satan.
Right.
To be tried, to be attacked. So that we can build ourselves better.
Right.
And those that are found acceptable are found acceptable. And those that are not, you're made manifest.
Right. Bro, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's
we heavy. Locked in here with him. That's why the Lord's Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Meaning, we want that heavenly government. We want that heavenly structure. But until then, Satan tells you that in Luke when he tempted Christ, unto me it is given to do all these things.
Mm.
I can reward you, and I can try you and tempt you.
Right. He's got that immediate power in
the earth. He has that authority that God gave him in
the
earth.
Right.
This is his domain under God's vigilant eye.
Mm. That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
Yeah. So we pray for all. And at all times, and like you said, the first thing Satan attacked was marriage.
Mm.
First thing. So you need to see people's character, and people are getting into marriages and they're playing games with it.
So my question, just because I'm trying to get my mind right,
mm-hmm.
seeing that this is the first thing that was attacked, when it comes to, because it talks about hedge about thy possession, mm-hmm. what are ways that you, because you can start hedging your possession about as you're proving, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you go into it right and you learn the character and how you build the foundation, mm-hmm. you can hedge it about, right?
Well, what do you mean? Hedge it how?
Like, how do you, because you're learning someone else's character before you even start. It's like being able to get, when you're picking a team to go into play a sport,
mm-hmm.
you get to pick Kobe Bryant, or you could pick someone on the bench. Being able to understand their history of their plays, stats, whatever the case is, you have a better... you have more working in your favor when it comes to getting in the game.
Yes,
and
okay,
winning.
So I'll look at it as that you've studied film and tape.
Right.
And you have a better idea of the type of plays they call, do they favor their left or their right,
right.
where do they like to shoot on the floor,
right.
whatever it might be. But here's how you can hedge while you're proving. Let's get Ecclesiastes 4:9. Because remember, I went on the record and I said, proving is not the time to be as a husband or as a wife.
Right.
You don't play house when you're proving.
Right.
It's a time to see the character of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like this person, above all things, because the minimum expectation is that they're God-fearing.
Right.
You're not proving them to see if they believe the Bible. You don't even talk to them if they don't believe the Bible.
Facts.
What you're proving them for is to see if they have the character to resist the wiles of Satan and if they're fit for the battle. In that marriage, do they have the character of what a marriage in the Bible embodies and what you require from a compatibility perspective? But you will not know what your perspective, and I'm not talking about looks, that's only a small part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You will not acquire what you want in somebody if you don't know what you're made of.
Mm.
And this is why that self-building, bear your cross. Do you have sufficient to finish it?
Right.
Because if not, if you haven't resolved those type of behaviors in you, you're going to externalize and blame your wife or your kids for everything else that's going on with you.
Right.
Like the bishops were bringing out in classes recently when they spoke about, yes, does the wife play a factor if a man moves and drives in a direction where he violates what God says he should do? Yes. It's not to say that that doesn't impact you.
Mm-hmm.
But as men, we need to have more discipline to not do those things.
Right.
Right. That's our accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't absolve the wife from hers or the husband in that matter,
right?
Especially with the wife knowing what she has to lose if she commits fornication.
Right.
Ain't no coming back. Bye. And any simp that goes otherwise, you're going against what God says.
That's defiled.
Right. No matter what you feel or whatever, none of that stuff, that's defiled.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a one and done. For a man, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing written like that for a man.
Right.
It only says it for the woman. Right. And obviously, there's spiritual reasons for that. But the hedge that you put up is this as you're proving and you learn things in people's character. Go ahead, read this.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor.
Come on.
For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow.
So it doesn't mean that you see a character flaw in somebody and you automatically move past it, right? And say, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. You try to have this dialogue in the scriptures to see how to, because marriage is going to be about being able to try to show them when you have conflict to be able to articulate properly what you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
how you perceive it, and what you see in their behavior to try to find, because conflict resolution largely involves being able to identify and clearly articulate what the problem is.
Right.
And that's not easy for people because we might not want to hurt someone's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We might not want to deal with the response that we think we're going to get from them. And that goes back to, I don't know if I've ever showed that clip where it says, in the man's case, you're going to get the version of a man that's going to allow him to survive that situation.
Yeah.
And if that means he shelters up, see if y'all can find that, because that kind of goes into what I'm talking about, conflict resolution. It was one of the ones, I believe I posted it. And if I didn't, I might have it saved somewhere, and I'll see if I can look for it. If not, no big deal. I got to do better at making sure it's just so much content.
And trying to keep it organized.
It's hard
too,
to keep it organized.
Yeah.
But you want to be able to use that proving time to discuss the things you see in each other's character.
Mm.
And if you can't do that while you're proving, don't think that you're going to be able to do it when you're in a marriage. It's actually maybe harder because there's more at stake, because you got to stay facing that person after you bring that thing to the table.
Right, right.
So, like, what I'm hearing also, part of that too, is if you don't learn how to communicate early, that can lead to issues.
Right. So that's how you start to put hedges, is that your dialogue and your communication while you're proving has to be clear and concise.
Mm.
So you see the red flag. It doesn't mean that the red flag means let me leave. Now let's try to put a hedge around this and see if this person will understand. And but you don't do that in a year.
Right. Because it takes time. Some things you have to work on, and you have to see a pattern of good works yourself of that being overcome, too. So if you've seen the red flags.
Let's say you're 20. You're at the age of marriage, right?
Right.
And by reason of strength, you live till 80.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say in a perfect situation, you start to prove at 20. By our recommendation, you marry at 23.
Mm.
Right, if things are all the same with that. And let's say you live to 83. That's 60 years. That's a 60-year commitment. And you wanna just invest 1 year for a 60-year commitment?
Right. So that's 60 years of refraining from sin together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of constant attacks by Satan.
Right.
Because his job, like we just read in Job, is going to and fro in the earth. I think if – that's why the disciples, when Christ – and that was just a few words – You got to realize he probably had much more extensive conversations with him, because the scripture tells you if they wrote everything that he did,
it
couldn't fit in books.
Right.
We get highlights that the Most High thought relevant to preserve for us.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot more substance in his time with the disciples. And for them to have been able to come to the conclusion, he says, if such is the case of marriage, it's better that a man don't get married.
Right.
That's actually a very honest, straightforward answer with them.
Right.
Meaning they understood what marriage took. For them to make a statement like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people, like I said, I almost want to scare you off from it. And I don't mean not do it, but what I mean is I scare you off from it, that you give it the respect that you do,
right?
That it deserves.
So entering into proving with the fear of the Lord.
You wouldn't walk a tightrope cavalierly.
Right.
Right? Depending on the height of it. If the tightrope was this high from the ground,
mm-hmm.
you might mess around. If you're 1,000 feet up,
set between fire and water,
you're going to be much more cautious.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
And I think most people think that they're close to the ground.
Right, right.
And they don't realize how much they have to lose.
That's heavy.
And how much is at stake when going into the foundation of a nation with that. And so when you go into the fit for the battle, yes, you have all the nice things that you want to be in a marriage for, but you want somebody that is, like, you know, they say ride or die.
Right.
But in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But in righteousness. You know, let me finish reading this up. I don't know if you found that thing. Oh, I was supposed to open with that. But no, you know what? Save that. I'll open with it next week. Just some observations I have about that, because I opened with something else. But hey, let's read this. Verse 10.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, and verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Or he'd have not another to help him up.
Right. So basically, the point that I'm getting at is that proving stage is for you to identify things in each other's character that you can openly discuss.
Right.
Because if you can't discuss it when there's no ties and there's no risk, and out of politeness, out of pleasantry, you don't want to discuss those things, then you really don't understand what marriage is about. Mm. And this is how we operated in the world.
Right.
This is why I told brothers, I'm not saying you're going to find 100% of everything that you want in somebody, in your perceived mind of what you want in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start to have misgivings and you start to say, well, that's something I can fix once we're married, or I'm going to overlook that, that's not the way to go about it.
Hell no.
Don't overlook it. Start to build that hedge by having the conversation about what you see now.
Right.
And then let's see where you go with that. And let's see what, because it might not even be what you perceive.
Right.
But you got to be able to have the dialogue. Is this it? The one where he says you'll get the version of a man? Is that it?
I believe that's the one that you had posted, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. This is what I was talking about when you don't talk about these things. And conflict resolution, especially in a marriage, has to involve being able to clearly articulate these type of things, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's hard because people perceive life based on their personality. All right?
Right.
Let me say that again. People perceive life and things that happen around them and to them and for them. A lot of people don't realize when things happen for them, based on their personality. And then your thing is this is why I say it's a harder thing for somebody to change their character. This is why these things matter. It's a paradigm shift. What I mean by paradigm shift is it's a fundamental move. It's like trying to move a house up off its foundation and move the whole house to another state.
Right.
Possible.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of care and consideration that have to happen, the trip there, how you plant it and set it up again. Right? Some of you have been on the highway. You've seen wide loads, pieces of a house that they're mm-hmm. moving. Right? Things like that can be done, but they're often not because it's just not worth it.
Right.
They'll demo a building and build a new one instead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's kind of what a character shift is in somebody. That's like, it's hard. This is why it takes God to move somebody in that.
Right.
And you need to see if it's on the surface or it's not. Just because somebody's here and fringes in a border of blue doesn't mean that, and you're not going to know that in a year. And you're not going to know that by how many toilets they clean or how many meals they cook. It takes more than that. It takes more substance. And what happens is if you're not able to do that, you wind up in a marriage, and then I hope this is the video. This is the situation that you'll have. Go ahead.
When a man does not feel appreciated in the area of his presence, he becomes a version of a man that he can give you and still survive. And I promise you, you will not like that version.
I don't know if you can go back. That's, he says,
bruh.
Run it from the beginning again.
That's heavy.
I know it's hard with Insta, right? Like, you can't stop it unless we download it, but it's all right. We just do it a couple times. It's better if they hear it a few times. Come on.
When a man does not feel appreciated in the area of his presence, he becomes a version of a man that he can give you and still survive.
Stop. Men value respect and appreciation more than what women deem as love.
Right.
That's our primary love language.
Mm-hmm.
Respect and appreciation in a relationship. All right? Even in a friendship. Yeah. Even in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. Respect and appreciation. Notice, he didn't say admiration. That's a different spirit that comes behind that, right? That's a little bit more vanity that you want to be admired.
Right.
We want respect and appreciation. And he says, when he doesn't feel that, if you've not been able to build yourself up to learn how to resolve conflict,
mm-hmm.
he says, you're going to get the version of a man that he can still give you and still survive. Because we may be God-fearing enough in a marriage to say, I know I can't get divorced, but I'm going to make the best of what I have here.
Right.
And that'll be a modification in behavior that he can still give you and survive. And this does happen for women, but for different reasons, not the respect and appreciation part. Come on.
And I promise you, you will not like that version. That version of him is silent, frustrated, sharp with his words, non-communicative, because he has to become something that he can survive in.
And then what winds up happening is many of these marriages, it's just people trying to survive in them.
Mm.
And it goes all the way back to can be salvaged if you're into marriage. I'm not going to say it can't. It most certainly can. But it's a lot easier if you go into it having checked off some things in the proving aspect of it.
Right.
So this information that we're going over is, while I'm focusing on the proving, it's actually applicable for while you're in your marriage, too, to understand and identify this stuff.
Right.
Right. And respect and appreciation go a long way for a man, ladies. It goes a long way. But if you wonder why your man seems silent, why he's sharp with his words, why he's frustrated, right? Take a look at yourself. And what I mean is, don't look at it, because here's the other thing that people do. Oh, I'm not enough. Don't look at it as a measure of your worth, because he chose you. He married you.
Right.
And vice versa. You know, she married you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you being enough, but it's a behavior thing. And underlying those behaviors might be a character thing. And this is why if you can resolve those character things before you get married, you're in a better situation. So the hedge that you put is what we read here, where two are better than one because one lifts up his fellow, means you see the character differences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to say flaws. They might be flaws in some cases, but you see the character differences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of dialogue you should be having in your proving process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to talk about your favorite ice cream and movies and how your day was and what you like about each other, and you hang up, you know. Yeah, you're going to talk about all that stuff. I miss you, yeah, all that other stuff,
mm-hmm.
all right? But that relationship, because you're forming a relationship when you're proving,
right?
Because you're communicating. It's not a relationship like boyfriend and girlfriend, but you're communicating. That relationship is going to get pressure tested beyond belief once you come into a union of marriage.
Right, right. And that's why I was thinking, like, when you were talking, because I was using the comparison of, like, LeBron or Kobe, like, getting mm-hmm. someone, you were saying being able to do this beforehand, you're able to understand the character's strengths that they come in with.
Yeah.
And do their strengths complement your weaknesses?
Yes.
And vice versa,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
That's heavy.
Exactly. Let me get the marriage graphic. That's what I talk about, you know, you got to really look and count if sufficient to finish the course.
Mm. That's
Let's pull that marriage thing up. Yeah, feminism has done a number on us. Feminism has. And it's affected both sides. While they call it feminism, it's affected the men
mm-hmm.
just as much as it's affected the woman. It's turned our women into enemies and in our men into a version that's not the man of God. That's not after Christ.
Mm.
To what our oppressors want us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep perpetuating that. Even those of us repenting in this, the way we go about getting into marriages.
It's a battle of the sexes these days, Deke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a war within.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a war within a war.
I'll bring this out again. So it says, this is why a man, maturity, symbolizes maturity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can't put an age on that. There's a maturation in age,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a maturation in the character of a person.
Is that why it's when it says wisdom is the gray hair unto men?
Yeah.
Because it's the
yeah. Get
the,
that. Let's read that. That's great.
Spiritual...
That's great. That's in Ezra's.
Is that wisdom of salt? No.
Oh,
Job.
Is it wisdom? No, it's not in Job. It's in the Apocrypha. I'm pretty sure.
Let me see.
Maybe I'm off. I know which one you're talking about. Maybe it is wisdom.
I'm thinking of Wisdom of Solomon. Let me see. Yeah, it's Wisdom
it
of
is
Solomon.
It is Wisdom
4,
of Solomon.
4 and 9.
Uh-huh. Get that.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 9.
No, but start 8. Above it.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Verse 8. For honorable age is not that which standeth in length of time.
Right. So there is a maturity in age, but that's not what makes it honorable or the character, let's just say. Right?
Right.
It's not in length of time, because you can be 45 years old and the most childish person.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said the fact that you would point fingers at somebody else for your own cross and things that you got to work on is the most base primal level of immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
I gave the example of my son when he would say Cracker did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he had a bunch of them, like depending on how severe it was that he did. And some were worse than others.
Right.
But it was not him. It's like, no, Cracker did it.
Right.
So instead of lying and saying, no, I didn't do it. No, it was Cracker who did. I mean, we're just still lying. He outgrew that. We got him to kind of, you
own
know,
up,
face
rabbit,
things and own
right,
up to it now, you
right.
know, whatever. But the point is, I wanted to use that as an example to say a two-year-old will deflect
mm.
a 28-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 45-year-old should not.
Right.
Right? Okay, read this from the top again.
For honorable age is not that which standeth in length of time.
Right, so it's not just about the years that you have. Come on.
Nor that is measured by number of years.
Nor that is measured by number of years. Read, but what is it?
But wisdom is the gray hair unto men.
And that's what you're looking for when you're proving somebody. You're looking, and that wisdom, behind that comes character, right? Discipline.
Right.
It's like that quote that Bishop uses all the time. I'm gonna butcher it. I think, I don't know if you saw it in a movie or read it somewhere. Talent will get you in the door, but character will keep you there.
So,
your looks might get you to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Your charming personality might get you to a certain point, right? Mm-hmm. You know, your shoe size or your size of your muscles might get you to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to really keep you there, if in substance, is what you're made of.
Right.
And you're not going to really know what you need and what you want till you know where you stand and what you're made of.
Mm.
And most people cannot say, pointing your finger at other people, this is what you'll do in marriage. This is what you'll do in business. This is what you'll do at work. This is what you'll do in every facet of your life. And that's a weak nature. Can we get that in Put Off Now, the Weak Nature?
Yes, sir.
Right? That's the weak nature. That's in all of us.
Right.
But you have to be stronger than that weak nature.
Mm.
Right? And then we're going to come back and finish wisdom. Go ahead. Yes, read that.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 14 and verse 14. Freedom. Let go from thee mortal thoughts.
Right. That carnal, non-spiritual thoughts that you've been programmed into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That are not based in sound doctrine. Weak thoughts, because he's going to say it. Come on.
Cast away the burdens of men.
Cast away the burdens of men and think like a king. Think like a priest. Think like the mind of Christ with a Godhead mentality. Come on.
Put off now the weak nature.
And he calls those things that are contrary to that the weak nature.
Mm.
And you know, you can almost excuse women for that to a point. Because we understand they were made as the weaker vessel.
Right.
So they're more naturally prone to a weaker nature. It's not an excuse. We're not going to write that off. Right? They're more naturally prone to a weaker nature. Because God gave us the operations to put off that weak nature.
Right.
It's a sad thing for a man to have that weak nature.
Mm.
And let me not say man. A male. Let me say a male.
Right.
Because going back to this, which says this is why a man. Mm. They say this is why a male. This is why, he didn't say this is why a rod and balls leaves his father and mother. He said a man. And when it says that sign of maturity is behind that, it's going into all these different things that we're speaking about. Mm. Was that it on this?
Yes, sir.
Go back to wisdom. Come on.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 8. The honorable age is not that which standeth in length of time, nor that is measured by number of years.
Right. And it's not in length of time, how old you are, how long you've been here. Come on.
But wisdom is the gray hair unto men.
Wisdom, God's wisdom. You know, wisdom is just a similitude for Christ.
Right.
That inner man it goes back to, called wisdom.
Right.
So Proverbs 8, where it says, with wisdom, without nothing was... Yeah. Without wisdom was nothing made.
Right.
Wisdom is Christ. That's one of his names.
And you got 1 Corinthians too.
Right. Yeah. Wisdom is Christ.
Right.
So wisdom has a dual meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the knowledge of what we have here, and Christ comes in the volume of that book.
Right.
So wisdom is Christ.
Mm.
And that means you have that Christ-like mentality. He's the standard. He's the benchmark.
Mm.
There's no other comparison that we should ascribe to if it's not him.
Right.
Because his example is infallible. His example is that man of steel.
Mm.
It cannot be bent. It cannot be broken.
Right.
Go ahead, read on.
But wisdom is the gray hair unto men, and an unspotted life is old age.
Right, so it's talking about your old age comes from you living a life without sin, right? So it says this is why a man, and there's so much that's so loaded. It symbolizes maturity.
Can I get something on the character aspect?
Go ahead.
Because it's talking about wisdom is the gray hair unto men, right?
Bring it up.
Wisdom of Solomon 8 and 7. It says, and if a man love righteousness, her labors are virtues, for she teacheth temperance and prudence. justice, and fortitude, which are such things as men can have nothing more profitable in their life. So that just wisdom is what it's talking about when it talks about her labors. Wisdom's labors and what she teaches these men that are gaining that experience, they're picking up these virtues, the virtue of prudence, justice, fortitude. I was talking to Officer Elkanon recently about justice and how to still display a level of integrity without impartiality as we go through trials as a body and how we deal with each other. Cause everyone's going through different levels of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wisdom's what's teaching those things. And that's why it's the gray hair into men, because gray hair, you should have experience, but wisdom is what's given us as young men experience as well. Spiritual experience on how to deal with situations, how to be prepared for a wife, for children. These are all things we need. That's that. These virtues are that. Is that character?
Get me. Hold on.
Hey, officer. I think you just kind of added to your question that you asked earlier too about the hedge.
Expound.
Like what you just mentioned about, you know, the different experiences.
Right.
You have those experiences to bring with you, and you kind of know what signs you need to look for. You can work on your communication skills. Stuff that you've gleaned from other leaders as well.
Right. So that goes into temperance and prudence.
Right.
The things that you're talking about or what in the corporate world they call soft skills.
Right.
Right. That goes into temperance and prudence. In the Man of Steel and Velvet that is ruminating in my mind to do a class on
right.
that I did for 300, that's the velvet.
Mm.
Your temperance and prudence is the velvet. Because, you know, like I said, I got to be careful when I put that title out because people are going to think I'm talking about being soft.
Right. Yellow makes me sad.
Yeah, and it's not. It's talking about meekness, which is not weak. Meek is not weak. It's talking about temperance. It's talking about prudence, right? Mm. Remind me, if I tell you I'm going to go over that topic, if I forget the scripture, to throw this into that class when I do it, all right?
The Wisdom of Solomon, or you
this
got
This Wisdom
one?
Of Solomon 8 and 7.
Yes,
no.
Sir.
But let me give you a little bit of steel here. This is justice and fortitude. Oh, man, I love fortitude. Get Job 38 and 3, fortitude. You ever heard the term testicular fortitude?
Yes, sir.
It's when you talk about you want men with the shield and buckler
right.
that are fit for the battle,
right.
for the things that are coming.
Right.
You need testicular fortitude. You need to grab your balls and man up. You remember
man.
Major League? Was it the second one? And he was, like, doing this marbles. He said, you got no marbles?
I don't think I've seen it.
Man, look for the clip for Major League. I hope it don't get us locked off. where it's talking about marbles. Major League 2, I think it is. He says, look, Major League 2 marbles. Oh, you got something else up there, too, that you want to put up? Put Major League 2 marbles, all right? Fortitude. This is what fortitude means. Let me get this.
The book of Job.
Because remember, I said it's terrible when a man ain't right.
Right.
That has the weak nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's vexation of spirit when you see a weak man.
Right.
And I don't mean macho, muscles, none of that stuff. Some of the most muscle-bound are the softest brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional. Go ahead, get that.
Job 38 and verse 3. Gird up now thy loins.
Gird up your loins. Grab your balls and man up.
Mm.
Come on.
Like a man.
Like a man. Like a man. Come on.
For I will demand of thee.
Because you don't know what you're walking into in this walk. Sisters, if you let yourself get bamboozled into a marriage with a man that's not of this, what we read in Wisdom 8, what you're reading now in Job 38, that you're the architect of your own demise.
Right.
You're the woman that destroyed her own. You've destroyed your house before you even built it.
Mm.
You trying to build a nation in a cardboard box. Read it again from the top.
Gird up now thy
loins. Gird up your loins. Grab your balls and man the hell up. Come on.
Like a man.
Like a man.
For I will demand of thee.
Because God is going to demand of you when you say I'm ready for repentance in this war. This goes all full circle to the Luke and everything else. And marriage is the beginning of that. That's why in Timothy it says, how can a man rule the church of God if he can't rule his own house?
Right.
And guess what? If you don't have a wife and kids, then that means your house is you.
Mm-hmm.
How are you fit for anything? Come on, man. Read.
For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me.
And answer thou, because you got to stand before the power of all things, of all creation. And you think you're gonna figure skate in there?
Right.
You think you're gonna go in there Joel Osteen-y? You think you're gonna go in there quiet? I don't care how articulate you are.
Right.
Paul was rude in speech. Now we know he was a smart, intelligent, articulate brother.
Right.
But he was rude in speech and still got the message across.
Mm.
Remember, it said of the disciples, it said, how did these men learn letters?
Right.
Right. Well, they said that to Christ, and then they were amazed that Paul and who was it? Peter and someone else. Because they were like, who taught them? It's in Acts,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that means they weren't the most best-speaking brothers.
Mm.
So some brothers might be able, you see them, oh, man, they actually, they speak pretty good. They can break this down pretty well.
Right.
Nah. Like we read in Wisdom about the old age, and it's not. It's
not in length of time.
Yeah, it's not in length of time. It's, meaning it's not in those fair speeches and eloquent talk.
Right, what you picked up over the years.
Right.
It's what only the wisdom of God, only Christ can teach you.
God says, by actions are we weighed.
Right.
By actions are, get that one, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir, Second Samuel.
That's it, Second Samuel. Mm-hmm. Second Samuel. It goes with that fortitude that we're reading here.
Right. The book of Second Samuel, chapter 2 and verse 3.
Come on.
Oh, hold on. I think it's 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2 and verse 3.
Or go to Walmart and buy a dozen. Sadly, it's not that easy, but some brothers think it is. Go ahead. Come on.
Talk no more so exceeding proudly.
Don't talk so exceeding proud, thinking that you got yourself together, that you know what's what. Come on.
Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth.
Man, that's that arrogancy talking about it's not me, it's you.
Mm.
Come on, man. Read.
For the Lord is a God of knowledge.
For God is a God of knowledge. I mean, you might fool some people. You might fool some brothers and sisters. You ain't fooling God with none of that. Come on.
And by him, actions are weighed.
Actions are weighed. Meaning you can fool men with your speech.
Right.
You ain't fooling God with your speech.
That's that tough guy talk.
That's that tough guy talk. That's that I think I got it together talk. It don't even got to be rough and tough guy talk.
Right.
It could just be that you – things that are not in accordance to what we just read here. Let's go back to Wisdom 8 and 7. You hit a banger with that one.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 7. And if a man love righteousness.
Right, you need a man that loves righteousness.
Mm.
That's what you're looking for. And brothers, you need to see if you are this type of man. Are you a man that loves righteousness? That should not be a hard answer.
Mm.
Come on.
Her labors are virtue.
It labors. It says the labors.
Right.
Meaning it's displayed, like what we just read in Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Actions are weighed. Mm. Come on.
Her labors are virtues, for she teacheth temperance and prudence.
Right. So that's why I said, maybe some of you who were in the 300 know, if you weren't in the 300, Laws Will Life Last, I'm going to do a class on it more broadly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Man of Steel and Velvet.
Freedom.
That's a velvet quality. All right. Which is needed to be a complete man,
mm.
all right? You need a steely foundation, and you have to have velvet qualities, your soft skills,
right,
so to speak, right? Come on.
Temperance and prudence.
Come on.
Justice and fortitude.
That's the steel. That's the cojones.
Mm.
That's when you grab them, you gird up them loins. Come on.
Which are such things as men can have profitable in their life.
There is nothing more profitable than those attributes.
Mm.
That's the foundation for all manliness in the sight of the Most High God and for a woman who wants a godly man.
Right.
And like I said, don't let it be the facade. Don't let it be the appearance sake.
Mm.
Right? Just like with the women, it says don't let it be that outward plating.
The outward adorning, yeah.
The outward adorning.
Yes, sir.
Right? But let it be the inner man of the heart.
Right.
You're looking for character. You're looking for substance.
That's heavy.
That's what you got to focus on. And you're not going to get that in 1 year. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. And some of you think you're going to be slick. I got an officer here. He just, I'm going to tell him on Saturday, why don't you just announce the patrol already? Don't do it to appease us.
Right.
You know you're not backing out.
Yeah.
And you know you're not trying to prove more.
Right.
You've made up your mind.
Yeah. I mean, if you already know them. Yeah.
Stop wasting time.
Right.
To try to say, see, I waited a little more than a year.
Yeah.
Just freaking do it already.
Nothing to it but to do it.
Right, you've already made up your mind, so it's just a facade then. You're not, meaning you're not
there's
doing
no,
anything
there's
of
no
substance.
There's no purpose or intent. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Nah, come on. Just do it. Just do
right.
it. I'm not in agreement with it, but, you know, you took the right steps. You didn't do nothing prematurely. We got to respect marriage.
Right.
Go ahead. At least you're trying that. You're going to have issues.
Mm.
And I ain't going to counsel your issues.
Mm.
One of these other brothers can. I ain't doing it.
Mm.
I ain't doing it. Hell to the no. Show me the marbles clip. Come on. Show me the marbles clip. Fortitude. Testicular fortitude. Come on.
Look at his face.
I need that velvet. What is the date for the
clip? You know.
I don't know yet.
You have no.
You have it on?
This is me trying to find a nice word because I want to say bad. I want to say curse Livers. Words. This is me for these weak brothers.
Livers? Livers! You have it on Livers!
Marbles? Huevos?
He said now he get it. He got no huevos.
Right.
Go ahead. What else? Is there anything else? Or the end?
Right. Nah, that was the end.
Oh, man. There's another clip where they on the field and he teasing him, like in the dugout, because he can't hit the ball.
Right.
And he's showing you we ain't got no balls.
You can tell he was cut to the
white
meat.
Is that it? You need marbles? Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go run it back a little bit. Show it. It's only 56 seconds.
From the stretch, he's ready. Fires.
Well, that's a quickness.
So, two straight heaters, and Serrano is down to his last strike.
He's shaking it back.
Hey, we should get some marbles here,
right,
bro.
Right.
We should get some bags of marbles like that.
Oh, man.
When a brother starts with his BS, I'm just get, brothers, take out the bag.
Damn, we got all the leadership shaking marbles.
That's it, Roy. Oh my goodness, damn.
That's
hey,
funny.
I got something for men's conference that I'm gonna go over Lawrenceville Life last called Leadership in Action. I want to talk about how you apply leadership because we talk about leadership characteristics,
right?
But not how to put it in motion,
right?
I might incorporate the marbles.
Yeah,
I might incorporate them all. We'll see. I see how to spec because I get so many ideas, and then like something's gonna move me. I gotta get better at like kind of just putting it on paper right away.
Right.
Before I move forward. But go ahead. Come on.
Bro, the whole team. That, you see the whole team have bags
of
marbles.
Look, he all bashful. Look at look.
The last pitch, man. That was beautiful.
Psyching him out.
Busick has his sign and comes set. Here's the pitch to Serrano. He swings and drives.
He found his marbles. He girded up his loins. He girded up his loins.
Oh,
not the stuffing off the ball.
Right.
Yeah, keep playing it. Keep playing it. Knock the stuffing off. You got no marbles, bro. We got to get the marbles in the netted bag, bro.
I'm going to do it just to have
it. We got to get it, boy. Some brother's going to cry, bro.
You see how the whole team was shaking bags of marbles?
Oh, man. Some people going to cry, bro. We got to bring that out, bro. We got to bring that out. Oh, let's go back to the graphic, the marriage graphic. What's up?
Say less. We got you.
Oh, you're going to get it, too. Hey, if not, maybe I won't do it to brothers. Brothers freaking break down. You're so mean. But I might use it when I do my presentation, Lord's will, at the conference. We'll see. All right. So it says, this is why, man, you're looking for maturity. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to change our paradigm of what maturity is.
Right.
And like we read in Wisdom 4 was, right, it's not length of years or length of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how a man is not the measure of masculinity that you show outwardly.
Right.
You wouldn't be talking to them if they weren't a male.
Right.
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 Sister, he's a man. It's not about how smooth he could talk, how nice he could dress. That's paint, wallpaper, pictures on the wall. That's not the foundational stuff, right? And then it says he leaves, right? There's a transition that has to happen. Means there's a commitment that he makes, right? Both, husband and wife, there's a commitment that they make to each other where you transition, right? Not transition like they talk about with transgenders,
right?
You transition to the mindset of building a nation. To the mindset of coming together in marriage and knowing what that means and that how that thing is going to be attacked and tried.
Right.
That's really why Paul says there will be trouble in the flesh in marriage.
That's heavy, too, if you look at it from that paradigm.
He's saying it because of what he understood, that marriage was the first thing attacked by Satan.
Right.
So what he's really letting you know in his wisdom, Paul being Paul, is you must understand that from the beginning, marriage was attacked first.
Right.
So when you get into a marriage, what you're saying is, no matter how good the compatibility might be, there will be issues that you're going to have to defend against together.
Right.
And sometimes And very oftentimes, it's going to come through one of you.
Mm.
And not always an outside influence.
You look at Job, too, even when it came through his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Job had to endure that thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, because, I mean, she hit him when he was at his weakest, and he still had to deal with her with a level of wisdom and endure through that until she were to see her faults and be able to recover herself.
Yeah.
Hey, officer, everybody died but his wife. But the wife.
Right. Hey, that's heavy, too. The Lord's like, y'all going to work this out.
Yep.
Y'all go work this out. Yep. Can I get one more thing real quick?
Bring it out, bro.
1 Samuel 16:7. Because it's a heavy thing. He was talking about the pain on the wall, but we're talking about the inward man. The book of 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So it's a heavy thing, because he already told us right here that men, we already by default look on the outward appearance. But what the Lord looks at and what he's examining is our heart. Jeremiah 17:10. The Lord is examining our hearts to try the reins, to see how we're going to move.
Yeah.
When we're tried under pressure, what decisions are we going to make? Because in Sirach 27:5, it says, the furnace proveth the potter's vessel. The trial of man is in his reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the inward man and how we learn the virtues and character of each other.
Mm. That's right. That's right. And that's just it, because he says the heart, meaning the inward man of the heart. That's
right.
What he's looking towards.
Right.
That's what he sees. And you see that inward man of the heart, not in words, like Reggie brought out.
Right.
He said, by actions are we weighed.
Mm.
That's when he's going to see that stuff, by actions. Job had a lot of moral fiber. Though he wavered at the end of it, he had a lot of moral fiber, because at the end of it, he still endured, right?
That endurance.
Yeah. And the Most High blessed. Meaning, it goes to show you that you can use that example with Job as, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Mm.
Because even then, the grace that we have in Christ was manifested to some extent.
Right.
Because Job didn't commit any sin.
He never sinned with his lips.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So he was shown mercy.
Right.
So he was shown that grace, right? So it goes to show that more. But it also shows that you're going to think things. You're going to go through the gamut. Because he did. He went through the gamut of emotions.
And that's the part that, because everything that he experienced, the emotions he went through, Job never sinned with his lips. And he had to wait for God to give him the understanding.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he was the wisdom all through Job. Wisdom was teaching Job where he erred, where he was falling short, so that he can obtain those virtues we read in Wisdom of Solomon 8.
Yeah, yeah. Someone else said, when is the velvet clay? I don't know. I got to see. I usually know by Thursday if I'm going to be up to teach. But then I don't know if this will be the topic. Like, it depends.
Right.
But like I said, I got to stop wasting time, because I got the thoughts. I just got, like I could prepare the class without having to do it in 2 or 3 days.
Right.
My goal is to have like a kind of catalog of classes that I can just pull from, you know, like have it ready.
But then what was that that coach where they stole his playbook?
Oh, are you talking about the movie?
Yeah,
Waterboy.
They tried to steal the playbook.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, someone said they thought that was Steph Curry.
Yo,
if they would have seen your hair when you had it longer back
right.
in the day, and all you wore was basketball shorts.
Facts.
I know.
That was like one of the first statements you said when I came in the body.
Yeah. Bro, because it was uncanny.
Bro.
I said, oh, snap. And I think he was like rocking the league at that point when you came in.
That was right when he started to hit.
Yeah, he was like really hitting it like at that point. So it says, so you leave, so there's a transition, and it's not transitioning to like transgender stuff. They call it the transition.
Mm-hmm.
His father and mother, right? And they say a model of a complete family. I brought it out a few weeks back. What that means is our custom was not to be on our own. Your children stay home till they marry, both son and daughter.
Right.
Right? That was our custom. Now, obviously, you know, we live in a time where, you know, maybe your kids are already out the home, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want to do things the right way, they shouldn't leave home until they're married, right? And becomes attached. This is like the other version. It's not KJV, but it says, and they shall cleave to his wife, right? Meaning you form it. So you leave your family, that's your mother, father, brothers, sisters,
mm-hmm.
to start your own family of husband, wife, mother, father, brothers, sisters. This is what, and you know, I've brought this out a bunch, and I've got a lot of feedback. People love this graphic. I think this needs to be in the forefront of our mind when you say you're ready for a spouse and you're proving.
That's heavy.
I think, like, and I would even take it a step further if you're into that type of stuff. This is something you should print off and put on your bathroom mirror if you're proving.
As a reminder, daily.
Daily. In 300, you guys do affirmations.
Yeah, we have the vision boards.
This, right. This is a form of that. Because I think that when invariably your mind shifts to the things you want for yourself, and there's nothing wrong for wanting what you want from yourself, but the way we did marriage in the world, where you just kind of checked off your list, well, I do want kids, I do want this, you know, I like that this person's affectionate, I like this, that, and the other, but you've not learned anything about their character.
That's heavy.
You've not learned anything about their character. Those are nice. Those are going to be bonuses if their character is up to snuff. If they, because you're right, some people like, you know, like I know some people that they don't like to be holding hands and stuff like that. Right,
right.
So, I mean, you know, that stuff should be out in the open. You know, I'm not saying a marriage can't work in absence of that, but, you know, that should be some discussion that you have up front.
Discuss preferences.
Yeah,
because
you know,
if not, then they could take it personal.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, you know, I get hot. I'm not always going to want you, like, you know, laying on me and stuff like
especially
that.
Especially, like, when you sleep.
Bro.
I can't sleep.
Bro,
like,
bro. Can't do it, bro. Nah. I I'm hot. Like when I sleep, I just get warm. Like, it's the winter, and I got to have the fan on and all that stuff
right.
like that, you know? I mean, I'll throw a blanket. I'm not – but, you know, I got to regulate the temperature, right? One leg out, an arm out. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Just get it just right, you know? The blanket got to be a certain –
because if it's cold, then you can warm it up with a blanket.
Right.
If it's too hot, you got to cool – it's
right. You can warm it up, right? It's
right.
It's easier to cool yourself down and adjust that than
right.
it is, right? Like it's easier to warm up is my point.
Right.
For like my daughter, she'd be like, yo, daddy, the house is so cold. I'm like, it's easier for you to put on layers of clothes than it is for me to freaking strip down. And even then, I might not be cool. Right. So I'm like,
right,
just go do that, right? I know, but that is something maybe you should discuss. Because maybe, you know.
Like, some type of way. Like,
yeah,
you ain't trying to hold me. No, go to your side.
I'll be hot.
Right.
You don't know how to, like, lay in position. Yo, like my wife, she be knocking my phone out my hand, like trying to get close to me and stuff like that sometimes. And then she get offended too. So, you know, like I might lay in bed, like, you know, just check some last minute messages and stuff like that before I go to, and she'll come try to snuggle up and then like knock the phone out, make me hit something. I hit send. I wasn't ready.
Right.
And I'll be like, yo, what? She get all mad, go all the way to the other side. But I can't stay wrapped up all night like that. I get hot.
Right.
And uncomfortable.
You in the spirit.
Yeah. I just can't.
Hey, Officer Tobias, it's a time for that, but it don't last long.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, and then see, like, I'm okay with holding hands, right? But, like, my wife's really not big into hand holding. So it's weird.
Preferences?
Yeah, like, she'll want to, like, cuddle all night, and I'm, like, hot, and I'm, like, go on that side.
Right.
Well, I even bought, like, this thing for the bed that, like, it's like a pad that cools. Like, it runs water and it cools.
Like, under, like, that covers the mattress?
You put it, yeah. And I bought it split because she has different body regulation.
Right.
And so it covers my side of the bed under the sheet.
Okay.
And you can set the temperature. So what it does is it funnels water through and it cools. It can heat it, too.
That's dope.
Yeah, if you want that. So
That's dope.
Yeah, it's dope. I like that. It helped me out. But, like, is that legit?
Right.
You know? But maybe those are little things you got to talk about, you know? It's like... You know, the house is chill, but nobody want to pay. Well, that's the other thing. My daughter be like, why it always got to be so cool? I said, because I paid the light bill.
Facts.
Go put on a hoodie. Put on a hoodie and some socks.
Right.
I'm hot. I paid the light bill. So it says, and he cleaves to his wife, right? So you make a new family. And when it says compliment, you know, you said something earlier, Officer Steph Curry. You said something earlier where you were saying how it's like you see where – you didn't say weak and strong, but you were like where you can compliment each other.
Right. Because each other has strengths.
Right. So there's a character there that can help each other out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll create a better union together,
right?
And they become, and that become part is a process of learning, friendship, and trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that there's still growth once you're in the marriage.
Right.
That by no measure am I saying that any of these things that you look for and you incorporate are going to make you have the perfect scenario. Remember, Paul said there will be trouble in the flesh. Because why? Satan's going to try your marriage.
Right.
And then they become one flesh. And I love this part because when you think about that one flesh, it says deep intimacy between two people. And I don't like how people think intimacy is just sex.
Right.
Because with a worldly mentality, none of us thought of sex as intimate.
Mm-mm.
It's driven by gratification, self-gratification. You're not really trying to please someone else.
Mm.
I mean, you know, in the world, if you did it and they got something out of it, then great. But what are you really looking for? Your own gratification.
Right.
Right? That's not intimacy. That's what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the wrong reason to get together. Something so intimate. What's intimate is the mere act. I mean, you're inside someone, bro.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that's next level.
You're in their innards.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you think about it.
When you think about it, that's crazy. Like, right?
That's being joined.
So here's the thing. It is an intimate act, but it is not done with intimacy.
Mm.
And it's a different thing if it's done with intimacy.
Right.
But when you're in the world, you don't roll that way. You don't do it that way. And men really want intimacy. I think I had shown a video about that, you know, because you got some wives who are like, you know, yeah, I render. And you're freaking frigid. You're like an icebox.
Right.
Nobody wants that.
Mm-mm.
You know, a man will give you the version of himself that he can to survive, so he'll take it.
Right.
But nobody wants that.
Go ahead.
And the intimacy really starts before any of the bedroom stuff happens. That's why marriage, the way God set it up, is the sex comes after the whole other thing is put in place.
The intimacy is already established.
Yeah, yeah.
That's heavy.
The intimacy is already established.
Right.
And then it grows as they become one flesh.
And then you get this.
It becomes more solidified.
That's the significance of the bed chamber.
Yeah.
Because now at that point, that's as intimate
saying,
as you can possibly get at that point.
Yes.
That's heavy.
Yes.
That's heavy.
But we do it backwards.
Right.
I want to taste it. I want to see what it's like. Oh, it made me feel good,
mm-hmm.
so I could rock with this person.
Do you think that's why they, in a worldly sense, because they do that most intimate act up front, all they can do is pull apart?
Yeah.
Because they it's literally
well,
because
they did
about
it without intimacy.
Right, right.
So now it doesn't mean as much.
There's nothing holding
there's
this
no
together.
Respect. There's no respect for the sexual relations that you had.
Right.
Because you didn't go into it with everything else. It's like you read in Tobit, get that? Where he says, I take not this my sister from lust.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Nine?
It's nine or it's eight or nine right out there.
Mm-hmm. Eight.
The book of Tobit, chapter 8 and verse...
Start at four.
Four. Really? And after that, they were both shut in together. Tobias rose out of the bed.
So meaning after the wedding feast, after they were paired, you know... remind me to read verse 12, too, when we're done with this, because I want to bring out a point.
Yes,
all right? Go ahead. Come on.
Tobias rose out of the bed and said, sister, arise, and let us pray that God would have pity on us.
Hey, and you know what else that shows you, too?
Mm.
That he knew that marriage is the thing that Satan was going to attack.
That's heavy, too.
That's what he means, pity on them. Nobody even talks about that when we bring that out. Why would he need pity on them?
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of people think that means because he was worried about Asmodeus.
Right, and the but he already knew the Lord.
He already told him how to deal with that.
Right.
He said, look, that spirit was there so that no other man would jump with her.
Right.
But now this is the sign that Asmodeus is going to flee with the fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not witchcraft. That's just the sign that the Most High. That was the mechanism in the earth that he wanted him to do so that Asmodeus, okay, let me bounce.
Right.
This is the one she's supposed to be with. So a lot of people think that was the pity. No, he's saying have pity on us because we're about to enter into this explanation of marriage, this union. And he understood that marriage was going to be attacked by Satan. Come on.
Verse 5, then began Tobias to say, blessed art thou, O God of our fathers, and blessed is thy holy and glorious name forever. Let the heavens bless thee and all thy creatures. Thou madest Adam and gavest him Eve, his wife, for an helper and stay.
And that just validates what I just said, how when he said pity on us, he knew what he was talking about. Because who did he jump to?
Adam and Eve.
As the example.
Right.
Meaning he understood because the way he was raised, his father made him understood.
Right.
What marriage was really about. Come on.
Of them came mankind. Thou hast said, it is not good that man should be alone. Let us make unto him an aid like unto himself. And now, O Lord, I take not this, my sister, for lust, But uprightly.
Right. And that uprightly, again, a lot of times we glaze over that. We just think, okay, he just means he did it according to the law. They got married, then they consummated.
Right.
But this goes into the deep intimacy. Meaning, listen, we got this pairing. This is the one that you've ordained for me.
Mm.
And this isn't going to be a lustful act. Because if it's a lustful act, this is where that, like you said,
right.
You do the lustful act. If you took the road test, if you took the test drive prior and it felt good. I mean, sex is designed to feel good. Even bad sex
can feel good. Right.
I mean, at least for men, right? I mean, some women are probably like, oh, about that. But even bad sex, you're gonna feel something.
You get something off.
Right?
Right.
And as a man, right, the way we built, you're gonna get there.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It may not be the mind-blowing, whatever, because, you know, it's just sex. But my point is, even what you would deem bad sex, if you were in the midst of that, is gonna still feel gratifying.
Right.
Because of the way the Most High built us.
Right.
Right? That's the basis thing that you should form any type of relationship on.
Mm.
The basest. And then maybe right after that is the gold digger stuff. I give that a step above because, you know, you're just trying to hustle and if the guy's simp enough to go for it.
Yeah, to get your quality of life.
Not that that's right. You shouldn't roll that way, but I'm just saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the basest thing is to jump to the end. That's why he said, I don't take her for lust, but uprightly.
Right. And I was noticing, too, when we started in verse 4, it says they were already in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Before they even got into the act, he's like, you know what? My mind is on the Lord. Let's get up. We're going to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways,
yeah.
and then he'll direct our paths.
Yeah. I tell you, man, I'm going to do my damnedest. You know, my son, he's only 6, so we're not having too many conversations heavily about marriage. You know, he understands no boyfriends, girlfriends. My daughter a little more, but, you know, I tell her not to focus on that too much. She's still... enjoy being a child. You still
right.
have a lot to enjoy in that regard. I really want them to embrace and understand marriage for the meaningful, intimate, spiritual thing that it should be.
Right.
Because many of us didn't make those decisions that way. Even many of us in the truth didn't make our decisions based on that. And again, you can hard correct. It's never too late, right? That's where the newness comes in as a new creature in Christ, right?
Right.
You can fix that. And you can move forward the way you need to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But this next generation that's coming up that gets to do it right, I mean, the emphasis on it needs to be so strong. You know, they tell you that one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life is like, you know, buying a house.
Right.
I think picking your life mate.
It's far more important.
But the world is so crooked in the way they do it because, you know, there's an out.
Mm.
Right. Oh, you can just get divorced.
And that's heavy, too, because you can replace a house.
Yeah.
But a wife or a husband shouldn't be something you think of as replaceable.
No, no. It shouldn't be thought of that way.
That's how much we don't put value in relationships.
So in my mind, as I've learned, I think with somebody because of physicality is the basis thing.
Mm.
And this is why, you know, you're on fire. Your emotions are going. And that's a lot of times you get that post-nut clarity and like, oh, snap.
Right.
But when it's based on something right and it's upright, that post-nut clarity brings you closer together with that person, not further apart.
Mm.
Because, wow. You know, and if anything, it can actually make the sexual aspect of it even more profound.
Right.
Because of the bonds that you have. It makes it stronger. It becomes less of a physical act and more of a way that you commune together as one flesh.
That communication between each other.
Yeah. And in that, though, they're you know, I mean, a man can function without that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had mentioned something. I had saw something. I don't know if we showed it where it said a woman, you got to prime her from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're more emotionally driven. But I don't want to say that men aren't entirely that way. It'll be more meaningful for men as well if the bonds are strong.
And that's that sincerity, not that I'm just rendering.
Porn, that's intimacy.
Right.
Intimacy is very deep. Intimacy has a lot. You can have an intimate friendship with a male friend, but it doesn't mean it's sexual. It means that you guys have a brotherly type of bond, right? David
and Jonathan.
David and Jonathan.
I was talking about this earlier with Officer Caleb.
But our minds, you got morons that think it was freaking sexually driven, which is not the case because we know they were both honorable men by God and homosexuality is a sin.
Right.
Right. They had an intimate relationship. I think we got to stop thinking of intimacy as exclusively sex.
Mm.
Intimacy is a deep connection that you have with somebody. And it carries over into every aspect of your relationship. And whether that's a platonic relationship as between two friends, mm-hmm. all right, or a brother or, and you know, siblings, or the meaningful relationship of marriage and what that represents, it takes it to another level.
Mm.
It takes it to another level, right? And it always means something more. So it's the most basis thing to just try to get with somebody because it's sexually driven.
Right.
It's not the right spirit. It's not the right way to move. And we have to stop doing that because that's what we did when we were in the world.
That's heavy.
And we have to stop perpetuating that.
Hey,
all right?
What you said about the kids is real heavy too, because, you know, IUIC, we've been around for what, 20 years now, right?
Yep.
So we're seeing that turn of where a new generation is starting to come in to where more righteous marriages are going to start popping up.
Yep.
To where they've been groomed the way that we're, you know, bringing it out through the scriptures. You're about mm-hmm. to see like that turn of a lot more quality coming out of us.
Right. And that's why I say I'm excited about the next 5 years, and Lord's will life last. I'll be excited about the next 5 years after that even more, because I see how it's impacting us. And that's what's allowing us to have more and more people repenting and doing things in righteousness. You got something? I see you turning pages. Go ahead. Bring it up.
Ezekiel 14. I was meditating on this a little earlier, right? And it for me, is more comforting. There's certain scriptures that I found that help comfort me as we're going through different trials as a body, individually, the three trials of faith, right?
Right.
But Ezekiel 14 and 22 to 23, it says, "Yet, behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings. And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God."
That's heavy. You know, that reminds me also. Okay, break it down. What were you going to say?
Nah, it's just, it hit my spirit heavy because it's like, he's talking about, one, he acknowledges, like Soldier O'Daniel just brought out, our sons and our daughters, this next generation, we're starting to see the fruits of what's going to start coming from our children being raised in righteousness.
Yes.
But at the same time, at the end, he acknowledges all the evil that he allowed to be brought upon Jerusalem, and that he said it hasn't been done without cause. There's a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Joel, they didn't understand in the moment why these things were happening. It takes time, and then once you see it, they're going to be there to comfort us in those times where we can be like, this is the fruits of my labor.
Mm-hmm. This made me think of this precept when you brought that out. And notice he says, when you see the evil, you'll be comforted because you see that we're turning the corner.
Right.
As the next gen. And listen, that's not just the literal sons and daughters of the ones that come from our womb and our seeds, but that's even those of us here in the midst of our repentance,
mm-hmm.
we have a chance to continue to make it better.
Right.
Right. Like I had mentioned when I did the proving class, on the Sabbath, I said, we've magnified marriage and how it should be done.
Right.
We made it more evident. I said, and now it's time for us to magnify that proving process.
Mm.
And that's not just going to be the new generations that are born into this. That's
right.
Going to be – we don't have to wait, my point is, for literal sons and daughters to come. We can change it as
right.
we go. Like you're looking for someone. When you go and you're proving, you can take all of this, bro, and that same feeling that you read here, we can have and look at that.
Right.
Because he's doing it the right way.
That's
right.
Heavy.
So this reminds me of this, right?
At?
Because it goes, the 2 Corinthians 3, we'll start at 1, because this goes into that, it's like a testimony,
mm-hmm.
but it's physical in action,
right.
not in word. Because you see it on display because of the way we've moved and taught people. So you see the behavior change in everybody. Paul says something similar here. Go ahead.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves?
Right. So we're not going to pat ourselves on the back. Come on.
We.
Or.
Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation
right.
to you.
Some people want to be praised for the things that they're supposed to be doing, right? They want it in writing.
Right.
Right. Come on.
Or letters of commendation from you.
Or do we need, right? Because what you just read, speaking about, we're just comforted by seeing the works being done properly
right.
in action.
Right.
Right? Come on.
Ye are our epistles.
You, the people we have taught, the brothers and sisters that are repenting and doing it right,
mm.
not just rejoicing because somebody walked through the doors,
right?
But you see a sustained character change in somebody. You see their roots taking root in the ground and not on stony ground. It says, ye, and he's talking about the letters of commendation. Our epistle's a letter. He says, you're our letter of commendation. You're the reward that comforts us in seeing in this evil place that there's light shining,
right?
That we are becoming that city that stands on a hill that cannot be hid. Come on.
Written in your in our hearts, known and read of all men.
Because it's seen, known and read of all men. Damn, these are those people. Now, the ones that hate us will say, like in Esther, these are them that, is it Esther? Where
a malicious people.
They're malicious people,
right?
that won't follow anything. And
against order and
against
and
order
commandments
and structure
of kings.
And commandments of kings and all that
right.
stuff, right? But then those of us who need to see it, we're seen of all men. Come on.
Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ.
And that's twofold. We're manifestly declared because why? Our spirit beareth witness with the spirit of our forefathers in the Bible that we are the children of God, but also manifestly in our actions, right? Come on.
Ministered by us.
Ministered by us. That's those people that we're going to be comforted when we see those actions. Come on.
Written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God.
Because we're seeing the spirit of the living God flow through people doing these things the right way. Come on.
Not in tables of stone,
uh-huh.
but in fleshly tables of the heart.
Because our minds have been transformed. Our minds have been renewed. And we see those things in action. So that's a great precept to what you brought out
right.
in there with that stuff. I often think of this scripture because I think it's so powerful. Because that's the labor of love, and you see the fruits of your labor in the people following those things. That's why I also get so damn vexed when I hear simpleness.
I was gonna bring it
coming out of weak brothers and sisters.
You mentioned earlier before we start. I don't think we said it when we were on air, but you mentioned the fact of a real leader has to be able to put bits and pieces of himself and be invested.
Yes, I was saying offline. I said a real leader gives pieces of himself to this walk.
These are those pieces.
Yes.
It's invested in those mm-hmm. that you are laboring for.
You're invested. You're invested. I was telling you how I have dreams sometimes, and I hate having dreams. That, you know, I pray for wisdom to deal with the people.
Right.
And I hate the dreams because I don't like the emotions that come behind the dreams. But the dreams sometimes are a sign, like, to kind of prepare me, I guess, for when something. And usually without fail, if I have a dream about something, I didn't know necessarily who it was or where it was going to come, but it's almost like it prepped me to soften the blow for what I was going to hear.
Right.
To deal with somebody or something like that. And just, you know, it's not that we sit up losing sleep, but, I mean, it takes a toll to go through emotions.
Right.
And the Most High, give me that in Wisdom 9:15.
Speak it,
I think.
Once and twice?
No, Wisdom 9:15 about the I think it talks about the earthly body pressing down
yes,
the soul.
Yes, sir. Hey, Dick, don't forget about the Tobit 8 and 12.
Yeah, we're going to go back to that and finish that up. Yep.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 9 and verse 15. Yeah. Verse 14. For the thoughts of mortal men are miserable, and our devices are but uncertain.
Come on.
For the corruptible body presseth down the soul.
That's the part I want to emphasize here, right? The range of emotions that we feel
mm-hmm.
take a physical toll on your body.
Right.
Anger eats you up,
mm-hmm.
raises blood pressure, causes all types of things in the moment. It could be transient, or if you have blood pressure, it's even worse, right? Sadness eats you up,
mm-hmm.
right? So emotions have a physical impact on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who are real leaders, that are leaders, I don't want to say begrudgingly, but leaders by necessity and not so much by desire, pieces of us are given in this walk.
Right.
I've said this before. As a leader, it's that much harder. Earthly, it's not really honorable. It's like that graphic I forgot that Bishop brought out, which says, like, you know, 5% care.
Yeah, 10% of...
10% don't care, and like 80, and like, I don't know, the other 85% hate your guts.
Right.
And that's fine. But what real leaders, the pieces of themselves are invested in this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was saying is that only the people closest to us really see how much this walk means to us and how serious it is. And it's why I'll get mad when I'll see something. And it might not be because I care about you so much as an individual, just because I see the bigger picture and it's so frustrating.
Mm.
I mean, it happened to Moses.
Right.
I mean, look at how vexed he got.
A hit man.
The way the people got him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ezekiel, right? The scripture talks about, you know, them that sigh and that cry
right. For
their people.
Mm-hmm.
That's real people who you know who are really about this mission. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that they're perfect and they don't have flaws, right? And they don't have their own battles. Contrary-wise, it's saying that they've taken up their cross and the burdens of others.
Right.
And you do it willingly because you feel driven and it's a purpose in you. But it's not for clout. It's not to be seen. It's not for those. Yes, those things, you know, let no man despise that you. If you're going to take your authority, it builds a spirit of, you know, respect. And, you know, like I was talking about how, you know, to call your husband Lord, there's
right. Something
behind that.
Power with it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it builds that respect, that reverence that you should have. So, yeah, real leaders give a piece of themselves. And then the gratification is that epistle like we just read.
Right.
When you see that in action, when you see people moving that way, that's when you know that it's worthwhile.
Mm.
And the stuff that you feel, the aggravation,
right. The
stress, whatever it might be, it's not from a place of that you want to give up.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. It's like, man, okay, you know, your epistle written in our heart. That's my commendation. That's what keeps me going.
Mm.
That I know that what we're doing is not fruitless.
Mm,
you know?
That's heavy.
Yeah. I know we set out to plant a vineyard and maybe only certain trees blossom.
Right.
But they blossom.
Right.
And those are the ones that you take admiration in and extra care of.
I think it's Ezra's where he talks about not so much heaviness will be in those that are destroyed as in those that are persuaded unto salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's a lot few that are going to be able to grow into the fullness of what they were called to become.
Yeah.
There's still more joy over those ones that are persuaded.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go back to Tobit. We'll break down these two scriptures and then we'll wrap it up. I still didn't get some more footage. I don't know. I don't know if we'll keep talking about this. I feel like my spirit's shifting. They messed me up last week because the computer wasn't working.
Right.
So I had to throw it to Austin. Shout out to Officer Jalez.
Mm.
Always clutch setting up for me. All right. Brother brings out some good topics. That's my Ephraimite brother, my rhino over there. All
right.
But it like threw me off. I was so pissed because I feel like it threw me off. Like I wasn't going to continue with this. I was going to move to something else.
Mm.
But I feel like I kind of got a little bit in the intro.
So we transitioning back to strong men.
I think that's where the spirit's moving me.
Yeah.
It, like the stuff that I'm talking about. I think we got to go back to need to man up. I think maybe I'll talk a little bit more about this because it kind of relates to it. I feel like I didn't get into more of the details that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it'll be a half and half next week. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. No, we're not on. No, we will be on next week because New Moon's Tuesday night.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we can do it Wednesday night. Let's go back to Tobit 8 and 3:5 again, and then I want to break down 12. There's a point. Excuse me. I want to bring out that deals with marriage also.
The book of Tobit, chapter 8 and verse 5. Then began Tobias to say, "Blessed art thou, O God of our fathers, and blessed is thy holy and glorious name forever. Mm-hmm. Let the heavens bless thee and all thy creatures. Thou madest Adam and gavest him Eve, his wife, for an helper and stay. Of them came mankind. Thou hast said, it is not good that man should be alone. Let us make unto him an aid like unto himself."
Right, so really in this prayer, Tobit's acknowledging everything that he understands what marriage should be and how it should be done. Come on.
"And now, O Lord, I take not this, my sister, for lust, but uprightly. Therefore, mercifully ordain that we may become aged together."
Right, because, again, now he says, remember, he said, pity us. Now he says, mercifully.
Mm.
He says, I'm doing this right.
Right.
I'm not doing it in a base thing for lust.
Mm.
Remember, I said, that's the basis thing that he even had to pray about and say, hey, I want you to know, I'm not doing this just to get my rocks off.
Right.
And sisters can be guilty of that, too. So let's not even get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Send me dick pics.
Hell no.
Oh, goodness. Let me not get vexed. So so that's why he says, mercifully ordained that we get aged together. Because you know what? I know we're going to be tried.
Mm.
I know that marriage is putting a target on our back as Satan roams up and down through the earth, like we read in the
right. Beginning
of Job 1, right? Now, another point I wanted to bring out about marriage, okay? Jump to verse 12.
Verse 12.
He said unto his wife, Edna, send one of the maids.
I'm sorry, not 10 and 12. My bad.
You're good. The book of Tobit, chapter 10 and verse 12. And he said to his daughter, honor thy father and thy mother-in-law.
Right. So I want to point this out. And he said this to his daughter, but this also applies to the man as well. Your spouse's parents need to be given the same credence that you would to your own.
Mm.
Where the commandments say, honor thy father and mother. This is why he says, honor thy father and thy mother-in-law.
Mm.
You have to remind her that now that extends to your spouse's parents as well. Because I'm hearing some brothers that got no regard for their, and I'm talking about believing, got no regard or not giving them that same, you should give them the same consideration, if you're in the right spirit, that you would give your own parents.
Right.
You know, right? And even if they're not believers, you don't treat them like trash and be disrespectful.
No.
Right? You honor them, just not at the expense of trimming your ways for the commandments.
Right.
But even more if they're believing, because I think I'm seeing like a disconnect with some brothers and their in-laws.
Mm.
All right? And it will go for the spouse as well. Because, you know, the world teaches you jokes about hating the mother-in-law.
Right, right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's, they make movies out of that stuff.
What is that, Meet the Fockers?
Right.
Yeah.
There's another one. I think J-Lo did one. It was about the mother-in-law. And, but usually it's a comedic trope.
Right.
That you hate the mother-in-law, that the mother-in-law is a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So go ahead. Read it from the top again.
And he said to his daughter, honor thy father and mother and thy mother-in-law, which are now thy parents.
They are now thy parents too.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not your parents anymore, but they are thy parents too, right? And it's not at the expense. Listen, when your daughter's given to the husband, she's under the care of the husband now. This
right.
is why it says marrying your daughter is a weighty matter. You not bogarting up. Now, listen, you know, he beating on her, whatever. You do what you got to do as pops. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? But I'm just talking about you shouldn't be meddling as parents in the marriage now.
Mm.
But it's still a family unit.
Right.
Right. Go ahead. Come on.
Which are now thy parents, that I may hear good report of thee.
Come on.
And he kissed her. Edna also said to Tobias, the Lord of heaven restore thee, my dear brother, and grant that I may see thy children of my daughter Sarah before I die, that I may rejoice before the Lord. Behold, I commit my daughter unto thee of special trust.
Right. So it's of special trust. It's of special trust. And from a parenting perspective, you look at that as a strong consideration,
mm.
right? And it goes for men and women, but women that much more. The Bible talks about, again, marry a daughter, you perform the weighty matter.
Right.
But women, as daughters, to remember, and even if your father's not in your life, you're a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter, not just, daughter means by a father and mother. And there, if you don't have a father that's going to commit you to somebody of special trust, then have the self-dignity, have the self-respect to commit yourself to a man of special trust and not cavalierly.
Right.
Not based off lust, not based off because you're lonely, not based off because you want two incomes, because it's a struggle out here.
Mm.
Yeah, those are benefits that you get from that. But have some self-respect and some self-dignity. That you commit yourself to somebody of special trust and not loosely without regard.
Right.
Read on.
Wherefore do not entreat her evil.
And men, you are not to treat your wives evil. You are not to treat them like some secondhand thing. The scripture says no man ever hated his own flesh.
Right. But nourish it.
But nourished it. And that's what it means to not entreat her evil. And to nourish, that has a whole... I don't know. Maybe I gave a lot of marriage classes when I first got here. Maybe I got to run some of them back that breaks it that down a little more and some other aspects. In absence of the parents being there, I need y'all to realize that sisters have some self-respect and some self-dignity.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a father that's going to give you away to somebody, understand that when you commit yourself to a man, it's of a special trust. And brothers, you treat it with that special trust and you don't do them evil. All right?
Deacon, even with the sisters too. Like, really consider, the Lord talks about we may lose certain family members, but mm-hmm. we gain tenfold in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So honor the men that are in your position right now spiritually to be that hedge of protection, to be those spiritual fathers that we have in this walk.
Right.
Because I tell you this, I have more men of understanding around me now that are able to guide and counsel me as God would have fit
that I can call father than I've ever had in my life. And I've had many different father figures I've looked at. So it's, we have those spiritual fathers, but are you respecting the guidance and counsel that they're giving you?
Hey, and it might not even always be direct guidance and counsel, but you just have an example that you can model after just by seeing it.
Right.
I mean, you did with your favorite sports player, right? Didn't you want to shoot like them or hit the ball like them?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know him from a hole in the wall.
Right.
But you said, damn, they're successful. I want to mimic his swing because he hits the ball a ton.
Mm-hmm.
This guy sinks every jump shot. I want to shoot like him.
Mm.
Why not in righteousness say, man, you know, I see good behaviors in that. Let's covet earnestly the best gifts. There ain't no sin in that.
That's heavy.
There ain't no sin in that. So you don't necessarily have to have even a close relationship with those father figures that we have around us, those men of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But there's things you can emulate and model from them that you see good.
Right.
That you see good. Just don't make men your foundation.
That's heavy.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the show. That's the show. All right. No, no plus, plus, plus tonight. All right. I've actually been, I've had to use the bathroom from like 10 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
I've been holding it this whole time. That's why I haven't been drinking.
You've been holding it down.
I've been holding it. I was going to step out and let you talk, but then we started flowing.
Right.
So I didn't, so that's why I'm not plus, plusing it, because I got to run to the bathroom. That's why I haven't drank no water. Hey, y'all stay safe. Stay in the spirit out there. Okay. Lord's will, this was helpful and you apply. Hey, the socials are on the lower third down there. Okay. Support. All right. Hey, even if it's not something where you want to exclusively watch us, it helps. All right. It bumps us up so that other people can find us. And that's what's most important. Right. Mm-hmm. Remember, we read in Corinthians the epistle in our heart. We want that example. Just by you doing something like that, you might put us in front of somebody that's going to hear this word and be able to repent and do something with it, all right?
Right.
Don't forget to support the Booster Club, IUIC.fundraising, at IsraelUnite.org. That's PayPal. You can fund some trips, okay? And don't forget to watch the show on Saturday on Facebook, 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We alternate between Spanish and English. And one last thing, if you're watching us on In the Classrooms, if you can jump over, if you haven't already, to IUIC Phoenix on YouTube, like and subscribe. That thing helps us out a ton, all right? So with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwaya Sharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Asharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza.
We one nation, one nation.
It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we next to kin. We ain't gotta tell Esau to less than friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the salt of the earth, ay, ay. And we been king since birth, ay, ay. We put the kingdom first, ay, ay. And they gon' get this work, ay, ay. We was chosen, not cause we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth, we ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot's on the throat of the eagle. Their tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble.
For the Southern Kingdom.